Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us once again. Let's dive right in and start with the following question. Does the Bible instruct us on Christianity in the workplace, if any? Duncan, can I start with you, please?
My answer to that question is when you go into the Bible and you see Acts 1 verses 8, it reads as follows. It says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world." And when I interpret this scripture, it tells me that the word of God is not just only meant for the church. The word of God is not only meant for the congregation in that church. The word of God is meant for each and everyone in this world, whether you are at church, whether you are in the workplace, and scattered all over the world. So I will say yes to that question, that the word of God is supposed to be preached in the workplace.
Dr. Peter, he mentioned Acts 1 and verse 8 and 9. Your take on that? The Bible instructs us on Christianity in the workplace?
I think Christianity is something that is not just limited to one place. In fact, I think Christianity encompasses your whole life, every aspect of your life, whether it's your marriage or your workplace or in church or wherever you may be. Christianity covers everything because it's not about a religion, it's about a relationship. And that relationship doesn't stop the moment you put your feet into the workplace. And I think you should live out your Christianity at the workplace because it's part of your testimony.
Right. We'll get to the how we do that in a moment. Basil, your take, please.
I concur 100% with the previous two speakers. I must say that the body of Christ or the church is not only confined to the Sunday morning service, but it is corporate. And as such, I mean, just to add on to what Duncan has said, Matthew 15:14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and give light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. 100%, we cannot confine Christianity to a Sunday service. It is global, it's corporate, and it's powerful.
I've mentioned in our intro that one of our listeners said, my new boss arrived there and made it very clear to me immediately that there's no mixing of business and religion. According to this boss, it had no place in a work environment. Are we then to separate our work and our religion, and in what way? Or don't you agree with that principle? Dr. Peter?
I think your testimony is not limited to talking about religion. Your testimony is in what you do and the way you treat people, the way you work, your diligence, your integrity. That is your testimony. So you need not necessarily talk about Jesus Christ in order to have a testimony at your work situation. And that's usually where it starts. The moment that your testimony is practical and it comes out and people can see it in your life, they will know that you're a Christian.
Right. Duncan?
I will concur on that. Especially what Basil also said about Matthew 5, that you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. And it's very true that when you enter the workplace, it is not about what you say, it is about how you live your life and how you treat others as well. And people will be able to see your light, and they will see that you are a sanctified, safe believer.
Basil, what can we call an acceptable practice when we bring our Christianity into the workplace? Remember, we spoke about prayer groups in lunchtime, deafening levels of singing and praying. What would be an acceptable practice when it comes to cell groups bringing our Christianity into the place of work?
May possibly just to be considerate and courteous. I think just be considerate about the environment in which you find yourself and to provide for the flock or the saints or the churchgoers a safe environment in which they can actually read the word, speak their thoughts, and a safe environment to actually share the gospel. However, I would imagine that in workplaces, we have to be considerate about the environment, the resources that we are using. We have to use those resources diligently. We cannot abuse systems, emails, telephony. So we have to be very careful about that and be quite transparent in our dealings with a resource that is not ours. So what we've done is we have a safe habit. We have an hour a week, and that's more than enough. One email per week, one meeting per week, that can happen on all the campuses across our company, and that should suffice other than the church meeting on Sunday, a midweek break to sit down and speak about the gospel. encourage and meet the need of the church corporately.
Duncan, Basil touched on something very important. He talked about company resources, expanding our Christianity, sending mails, emails, etc. What is your take on what is acceptable in the workplace, on how we live our Christianity in the workplace? For instance, the screensavers that we put on there, I'm a Christian, or I believe in God, or a Bible scripture, whatever. What would your take be on what is acceptable and what is not acceptable?
It depends on the company that you actually work for. Some companies are extremely strict, where they actually just want their logos as their screensavers. You are limited to sending emails and etc. And what I would say is, when you actually live your life out as a Christian, you do not need all these images and all these kinds of fancy things to draw attention to you and make a statement that you are a sanctified, born believer. What you can do is you can just live your life out for Jesus. And I tell you, the Holy Spirit will work through you and touch the people around you. So I would agree with Basil when he says that certain things, you have to respect it. You have to be considerate when using your company property. And it's actually a privilege to be having these kind of meetings and putting up any kind of symbols on your PCs if you are allowed.
I take it then that your meetings not interfere with your work time and with the work that you're supposed to do for your company.
They don't what we do. So, Doctor, you know what? An hour a week, at a lunchtime,
right,
is normally foregone. So, yes.
Dr. Peter, I want to bring you in here. What would you say is not acceptable? We've mentioned, and I know you work amongst factory workers in particular, but we've also had a complaint from one of our listeners that said, well, we've got these prayer groups meeting in one of the boardrooms, and due to the noise levels, the meeting rooms around that could not be used. What would you say is not acceptable practice when it comes, and in fact is damaging our image as Christians, taking it into the workplace?
I think this is a basic principle of good manners. I don't think it's a spiritual thing. It's good manners. And if we disturb other people, you know, we're giving offense. And I don't think that's such a good idea, because it tarnishes our testimony as well. We have our services, and I must say this is the perspective from which I come. We have our services at the various factories. I'm involved in 5 factories now. We have them during work time between 7 and 8 in the mornings. All the factories start work at 7. So we have it during work time. But we make it a specific effort not to give offense to anybody and rather reach out to people with love. If I may just comment on what Duncan said as well. I feel very strongly about things like bumper stickers and screensavers with a very strong Christian message, because sometimes we do things that we're not proud of, that we're ashamed of, and that tarnishes our testimony. So my feeling is, rather leave out that stuff and let your testimony be your life.
We spoke about this individual whose boss says, no religion in my work environment. What if my boss is not a Christian and makes my life unbearable? How am I to live out my Christian testimony in my place of work, or should I find another job? Basil?
Raynard, I mean, I would rather take the instruction of the Lord God Elohim. I will pray for my boss. I would love them unconditionally. I will be a person of grace. Dispense of grace and be kind, and I can love a person without having received the love that I thought I deserved. So we have to be careful about not judging and not being too offended or too sensitive about taking offense. And obviously, if it becomes unbearable, there are company policies and rules and regs that you can follow. But we don't need to go that. Our love, our ministry, our soft-spokenness, our presence in the workplace, our brotherly love, our kindness, and the fruits of spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, patience, the goodness, the kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, would put us in good stead to actually weather all those storms and attacks.
Duncan, can I bring you in here? Is it important to get my boss's permission if I want to start a cell group during lunchtime before work? Would it be okay to get my boss's permission, or what is your take on that?
It's very important to involve all the necessary superiors, which are in charge of the building and the facilities, to get their consent to use the facilities during lunchtime or before work or after work. So I think it is very important that you do involve these people before you just do anything.
And if they say no?
And if they say no, what you can do is you can either take it outside the workplace, outside their building, outside their premises, and you can have your meetings in your lunch hour outside their buildings and speak to various people. You can have your prayer. You can do, I believe that you can do mostly anything, because with Christ, there is no limits and there is no boundaries.
Dr. Peter, you mentioned having prayer meetings during work hours after 7 in the morning. Is it important to get the bosses involved, the line managers, the superiors?
Well, in actually all the cases, there was managers from director level that asked me to do these short services once or twice a month. And they are very, very motivated. And because they're seeing results in the attitude of their people and the diligence of their people, and also, well, we're praying for the company's success, and we're seeing that the companies are growing. Without exception, they're all growing in terms of their business. So, you know, the directors are very happy with the fact that we are, in fact, ministering to their people spiritually as well.
Basil, can I ask you, if you need to give advice to somebody with regarding to start a prayer group or cell group at work, how would they go about it?
For one, I would strongly advise that you hear from God. If you hear from God and it is your spiritual gift, in other words, it's a prophecy, ministry, teaching, whatever your spiritual gift is, that you yet get it from God, that it is His calling on your life, that you as a cell leader or home leader or lay preacher prepare yourself well, that you are prepared to share the gospel in and out of season, and that you, as Duncan says, consult widely. There are many needs in various companies, specifically now with the economical downturn, then I would imagine, but consult widely, and then I would imagine formulate a fantastic scripture, a pager, and come prepared. In other words, just distribute a well-prepared sermon and provide a safe haven, be it a boardroom, be it a place outside, be it a coffee shop off campus for people to meet. Choose a specific day, typically, let's say, Wednesday 12. Choose a specific venue that people know that there is a safe haven at a certain time in the company, and prepare it well in advance. You know, schedule it for the whole year, if you may. Schedule it for 3 or 6 months ago. And so you just provide a safe haven, safe environment, specific venue, specific time, specific place every Wednesday in your company.
Thank you so much for those insights. Gentlemen, in closing, your final thoughts on Christianity in the workplace. Duncan, can I start with you, please?
Doing what you do for Christ in the workplace has really changed my perspective. From performing a job for my employer to fulfilling my calling for Christ, from being a employee to being a leader, from personal achievement to serving others, from skills development to character development, this changed perspective has made me more effective at performing my job. My ability to action and to get results has improved dramatically.
Basil, your final thoughts?
Best unique spiritual gifts that God has deposited in us, we cannot take them lightly. We have to commit to using them responsibly and well. And we have to pray for a fresh supply of His truth and beauty upon which we can draw as we do our jobs. And that God will anoint our creativity, our ideas, and our energies. So that even our smallest tasks will bring His honor. And I'm just reading scripture quickly. Cling to what is good. We being many as are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having the spiritual gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, our ministry. Let us use it all in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives liberally, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So, giftedness. Let's use our gifts that God has deposited in us, and let's change our workplaces for the kingdom.
And Dr. Peter Barnard, you have the final say.
My comment was directed at employers, the owners, directors of companies. If you invest in the spiritual health of your employees, you make for a happier, more contented, and peaceful employee. And when your employee is happy and more peaceful and calm, his work will be more effective and he will be able to function far better when his spiritual health is also being looked after.
With that, our sincere thanks from Radio Pulpit for your insights, and we pray God's blessing over your ministry work. Thank you so much for sharing with us your hearts today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vena.
Thank you. God bless Radio Pulpit.